Now, I won't come totally clean here, but suffice to say that the very keen-eared among you and the most mathematically aware might just have spotted a reason in last week's programme why I wasn't altogether happy with being told I was going to try a new test to assess mathematical ability this week. So, trying to appear relaxed, I sat in front of a computer screen at the Institute of Cognitive Neuroscience at University College London with Professor Brian Butterworth. Get ready again. Ah, bing, 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 bing. flashes of big squares across the screen. Did you see more green or blue? I'd say green that time. Green is...
J.
J. Okay. The test has been designed to diagnose dyscalculia, a disorder that affects the ability to understand numerical concepts. There's a lack of intuitive understanding of what numbers mean in real terms, and a lack of confidence with figures. In two large-scale screenings in Cuba and Israel, about 6% of children were found to have the condition.
The important thing about arithmetic is that it involves exact numbers of things. So exactly 3 plus exactly 5 is exactly 8. So we want to know which part of the brain represents exactly 3-ness, exactly 5-ness, exactly 8-ness. And up to now we haven't known that. We've just known that there's a part of the brain that deals with quantity in a rather general sort of way, deals with sort of approximately 3. So what we've done in this study that was published this week is we've tried to separate out how the brain represents quantities in general from how it represents these exact numbers, or what we call exact numerosities. The fact that there are exactly 3 people sitting around this table, not roughly 3 people.
Did you know where to start looking? The area of the brain that deals with numbers, is that already quite well known?
Part of the brain called the intraparietal sulcus is important for quantities. What we didn't know was that it was important for exact numerosities.
And in people with dyscalculia, the how many bit is the bit that's lacking.
Okay. That's what we think.
That was large squares. Oh, here we go again, changing from green to blue. It's not easy. This square is a large square across the screen, changing quickly from green to blue. Gosh, that's hard. Did you see more green or blue? I'm going to say blue.
The task was, is there more green or more blue? And we didn't say whether it was a how much task or a how many task. But in the how many task, what you saw were blue squares or green squares. And in the how much task, you just saw something which continuously changed from blue to green and then back to blue and back to green and so on. So you couldn't make a judgment on the basis of how many things there were, but only on the basis of how much blueness and how much greenness. Whereas in the how many task, you could make a judgment on the basis of how many blue squares there were or how many green squares.
And there was a clear difference in the part of the brain used to identify these two separate tasks.
The difference was not in the intraparietal sulcus areas. That was the same for both tasks. However, we did see a difference in activity in part of the brain called the occipital lobe, which is right at the back, which does vision. This part of the brain sorts out objects in the environment. Doesn't tell you what the objects are, just tells you there are objects out there. And another part of the brain tells you how many there are, which was the bit we were looking at.
Was that surprising, this visualization bit?
To be absolutely honest, we didn't expect it. And so we were surprised and I think rather pleased that this was a part that we did find to be particularly active when you're looking at objects rather than just continuously changing colour.
Professor Brian Butterworth at University College London. And luckily for me, I may not shine at maths, but I don't have the serious problem of dyscalculia. You're listening to Science in Action on the BBC World Service with me, Sue Broome. Still to come, why imitation is not only the sincerest form of flattery for Amazonian frogs, it's also a matter of survival.